Did you see her? Did you see how she walked in here? Did you see that she walked in here like she owned this place? Did you see how she walked in here with that attitude all stuck up? She act like she better than everybody in here. She act like she better than everybody, but she ain't better than nobody. It's all because of that Louis Vuitton purse she has. She think just because she got that Louis Vuitton that she Louis Vuitton. This is what the lady said as they watched the other woman walk into the building. They said to themselves, she think that she is better than everybody, all because of that Louis Vuitton. And she did. She walked into that building swinging her purse around so that everybody can see. So that everybody can see what brand it was. So that everybody can see her Louis Vuitton purse and be in awe. God wants the real, not the fake. God wants the real, not the fake. You should already be there, but if you're not, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Today, I've been given the opportunity to talk with you guys and share with you guys what God has shared with me about faith. I know you all have been talking about this word faith, or will be talking about this word faith. And I think the question is always, what's the difference between faith and real faith? What's the difference between faith and authentic faith? We know that this term is something that we've heard all throughout our lives. Many of us have been hearing the term faith since we started our walk in Christ. Many of us have been hearing this term faith before that walk even began. And so it's such a loaded word to hear. What does it really mean? And I think Hebrews chapter 11 gives us an idea of what faith really means. In simplest terms, it's our belief. Faith is our level of trust and confidence in that which we believe in, whether seen or unseen. It's this word that is so weighted down on our lives that do we really understand it? And so because I think that we need a little help understanding this word, I'm going to put you guys to work this morning. We're going to flip through some passages. So if you thought we were just staying in Hebrews 1, no, that was just where we started at. We just started at Hebrews 11, verse 1. We're going to continue through a couple of stories. So you have your finger ready? Do this with me. Flip a little bit. All right, I need you to, you know, you got to exercise, you got to warm up before you go through the real flipping. You have to warm up because we're going to do some real flipping. So today, as I share with you a couple of things to be mindful of, as we move from just regular faith to authentic faith, I need you guys to help me out. And how you can help me out is by repeating after me. Repeat after me. God wants the real, not the fake. God wants the real, not the fake. You know, my wife, Mercedes, is a PLMSW. Provisional license, master, social worker. And so she actually works as a therapist at a hospital. And so she's real good at listening to folks, something that I learned from. All right, so she's real good at listening to people. And so she's very observant at the same time. So she'll enter into a conversation with you. And while in that conversation with you, without you even giving anything up, she can know a lot about you. And so this actually is not always good in our marriage, because sometimes she'll observe me and she'll see that something's wrong and she'll say to me, what's wrong? And I'm looking at her like, ain't nothing wrong. What's wrong with you, bro? And so she'll say, yeah, you want to talk about it? And I'll say, what are you talking about? She said, yeah, I could tell something's wrong. And I say, how? She says, your words. My wife has a way with being able to determine things about people based off of their words. I want you all to look with me at Luke chapter 17. This is our first flip in the Bible. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11, and we'll work through verse 14. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says, Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. While traveling to Jerusalem, Jesus will be approached by these 10 men with leprosy. Now, leprosy was this awful disease that, in this particular context, considered you to be unclean. And whenever you were unclean in this environment, you were considered an outcast, defiled, somebody that was treated with an arm's length approach. And so these men were not supposed to approach anybody, but they see Jesus in the distance. And when they saw Jesus in the distance, they screamed out, they cried out, they shouted, they said, "Jesus, Master, heal us." You know, it's actually in their speech that we're able to see how they perceived Jesus, how they revered him. It is in their speech, it is in the words alone, "Master, Jesus," that we see that they actually identified him as Christ. They saw him and considered him to be the Messiah, the one who can save, the one who can heal, the one who can cleanse. It is in their speech that we notice all these things. I don't think that we give enough credit to people's words. I don't think that we give enough credit to the things that they say. And I think we don't give enough credit to the things that they say because we're too busy trying to defend ourselves and defend other people from what they reveal of themselves through their speech. I think that we're too busy trying to defend ourselves and defend other people of what they reveal through their speech. And that's why we don't put a lot of weight on people's words. But a couple of years ago, this person came to me. They said, "You know, I could tell a lot about a person without them even noticing, based off the conversation I have with them." Isn't that interesting? The person said, "I can tell a lot about a person, a lot about the person, without them even realizing that they are letting me know all of these things about them through a conversation I've had with them." What that person was saying to me is that we can find out people's truth in their words. What they are saying, how they are saying it, for what reasons they are saying it, and what situations they are saying it. I'm letting us know that words give a lot of ourselves out to people, but we don't put enough weight on our words, which is why this concept I'm about to share with you is probably a little bit difficult, because we water down people's words. We say, "Well, this person say that I love you, but you know, this person say that I mean a lot of them, but But then in that same statement, when that person tells you that they love you, they're chastising you. In that same conversation, when that person says that you mean much to them, they tell you how much you don't do for them. So when we start to put a lot of emphasis on people's words, we're able to really determine, who are you? What do you feel? What do you think? These men with leprosy, we see that they had a faith in God, and that faith was a verbal one. And we know that it was a verbal one because they screamed out. They shouted out. They shouted out to Christ. They said, "Jesus, Master, heal us. Have pity on us." It was in their words that we can tell that they had a belief in Christ that he could heal them. They had a belief in Christ that said that Christ is who he says he is. They had a belief in him that says that he is Master. He is the author of our lives. We need to submit ourselves over to them. It was in their words that we're able to determine this. I think Paul says it best. Go ahead, and you don't have to turn there. If you trust me, you can. But if you don't, go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says this better than anybody. And it's so funny that we just read this. I was looking at you like you need to stop reading so that I can present that in my sermon. But I'm just going to say it anyways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, Paul says, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us also with Jesus and present us with you." Paul was constantly being persecuted. Paul was constantly being attacked. Paul was constantly being pursued. He was always on the brink of death. His physical body was always being attacked. He was always being pushed in the corner. And yet he was always speaking out. What does this tell us about faith? What does this tell us about real, authentic faith? That his physical body was constantly being attacked. His mental body was constantly being attacked. His spiritual self was constantly being attacked. And yet he continued to speak. It's because Paul had a faith that was verbal. Paul had a faith that was verbal because authentic faith requires speech. Authentic faith requires speech. Has there ever been a thing that you believe that you didn't say? Whenever you go to a food place and you say, oh, that food was real good, what do? You go tell your friends, y'all need to try this restaurant. When you know the sale is too good, when you believe that a store is having a really good sale, and you went to JCPenney after they sent you the email and the text message and the notification even in your mailbox, when you get all these notifications, you finally go to JCPenney. And you see they actually have some good clothes. So what do? You call up your people and you tell them, hey, y'all need to go check out JCPenney. Why? Because you believe the sales were good enough. Whenever we believe something, we always speak it out. When you feel like somebody is being wronged, you know what we do? Stop that. You're wrong. Or we go to the media, or we go to our social media platforms and we speak out through our posts or through our pictures. When we believe something, guess what we do? We shout it out. I wonder, though, why is it that we do not use that same mentality and that same approach when it comes to our so-called belief, our so-called faith in Christ? See, for Paul, he was considered a bold speaker, but it wasn't because of him that he was bold. It wasn't because of him that he was able to speak. It was because of the one he spoke of. I think sometimes we are not driven by the one that we are supposed to speak of, which is why we're not speaking of him. We're not driven by Christ. We're driven by our own desires, which is why we can speak about the sales going on at JCPenney or the food that's good at the restaurant, because that benefits us. That is about us. But we are called to speak of faith that's not about us, but that's about him. But because it's not directly related to us, we're silent. But see, Paul expresses a method to us through his writings. He expresses that you have to be closely knitted to the one you're speaking of, to that which you speak of, in order to speak of it. Paul was closely knitted to Christ. His encounters with Christ required him to be that way. Some of us are encountering Christ and we don't even realize it. And when we do realize it, we're not embracing it, so we're not speaking it. I think there's a lot of danger in that. See, I know there's a lot we are facing in our days today when it comes to the world that we live in. And it makes us a little almost frightened to even speak it out. It makes us a little frightened. We don't know if we can talk about Christ in the workplace. We don't know if we can talk about Christ to the person next to us. We don't even know all the time that we can talk about Christ in this place right here for fear that we're going to be shamed from by somebody in the church because they don't feel about Christ what we feel about Christ. We have become so terrified in speaking about Christ that we are just become so shut up tight inside of ourselves that we are now just silent. But I say this to you. If you believe that Christ is the Son of God, then we need to speak that. If you believe that he died a death that covered our sins and the sins of all, we need to speak that. If we believe that if we die in his death and rise in his resurrection, we will have access to the presence of God, then why are we silent about that? We need to speak that. It does not matter if the workplace allows us to or not. I'm going to speak my faith. It does not matter if my brother or sister don't want to hear. I'm going to speak my faith. It does not matter if my friend is living contrary to the will of God. If I believe in the God that I serve, then why am I talking more about fashion than I am about the God that I serve? If we really believe, would we be silent? I know that it's easy when we're speaking in the air-conditioned environment. I know it's real easy to talk about Christ when we're speaking in this air-conditioned environment. I know it's real easy to talk about our faith when we're around faithful people. The issue becomes when we're around faithless people. When we're around faithless people, we start to feel a little dangerous. We start to feel a little intimidated. We start to feel a little shy. But what about this walk with Christ is a shy walk to walk? The call, we talked about this morning, the call is for us to be bold and courageous about the God that we serve. If our belief is real, if it is authentic, then even in the midst of whatever it is we're dealing with, we should speak it out. Because our belief should run deeper than our circumstances. Our belief should run deeper than our problems. Our belief should run deeper than our trials, tribulations, our situations, our conditions. Our belief should run deeper than all those things. And if our belief runs deeper than those things, if our faith runs deeper than those things, then it has to be a real faith. And if it is a real faith, then it has to be a verbal faith. If you want to know what I'm trying to get you to understand, is that authentic faith is a verbal faith. Authentic faith is a verbal faith. If we are not speaking, then we have to question whether we really believe it. When I sit here and I tell somebody, you know what, my mom was a really good mom. She raised me right. She prepared me for some of the things that I encountered in my life. When I say, oh man, I remember the youth group times at Ferguson. I remember people invested in me, people loved me, people instilled in me, people covered me. When I say that, if I'm saying it, that means I believe it. If I don't say it, what do? You question it. Well, if we are not saying anything about our faith, then am I not open to question whether it is really there or not? Authentic. The word authenticity means real. It is real. It is genuine. So when I say authentic faith, I mean real faith. Faith that goes beyond the standard or the norm. Faith that pushes past these walls. Faith that goes beyond this building that we're in. Faith that goes everywhere in our lives with us. Everything that we say is a direct manifestation of the belief that we have in the God that we serve. If you want authentic faith, if you're trying to figure out what that looks like, listen, if you're trying to see if the person next to you is real in their walk, listen to them. Have they ever talked to you about Christ? Have they ever mentioned God? And I'm not just talking about, oh yeah, that sermon was good. I'm talking about, you know what, man, I'm struggling, but I'm glad that Christ died for me. I'm glad that Christ covered me. I'm saying we need to listen to each other more, because then we can tell the real from the fake. We can tell if somebody real in their walk if they're talking about Christ. Repeat after me. God wants the real, not the fake. God wants the real, not the fake. My coach used to kill me all the time because he would always say what needed to be said at the moment it needed to be said. I used to pole vault on the track team in high school. I don't no more. My wife feed me too much. But when I was in high school, I would go to the track meets all the time. And typically, the track meet would end with my teammate, someone from another team, and myself. There will always be three of us left standing at the end. And the heights at this particular time would go higher and higher and higher. Well, I remember going to one track meet, and the height was at 14 feet. And I was hesitant, you know. I don't know if you ever watched somebody pole vault, but they're at the end of the runway and they have this long pole in their hand, fiberglass pole in their hand, and they're looking at the box and they're supposed to run. Stick it up. I ain't going to do that because I don't want to rip my suit. But they, you know, throw their hands up in the air. And they put the pole down and they jump over. Well, you're supposed to get up there and go. Well, I was back there like this. And my coach shouted out, he said, "Do you believe you can make it?" And I said, yeah, I, of course I said yes. You think I'm going to say no to my coach? So I'm like, yes, I do. And he says, well, go ahead and jump it then. I want you guys to look with me real quick at another passage, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 and 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. In Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 25, it says, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she actually grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her sins, from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my garments?' 'You see the people crowding against you,' his disciples answered, 'and yet you can ask, who touched me?' But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.' This woman in the passage, she's been sick for 12 years. 12 years is a long time for anything, for us to endure anything. 12 years is an even long time for some of us to be married, y'all. Whenever you're dealing with anything for 12 years, it's a lot. Have any of you guys ever been sick longer than one day and said to yourself, I can deal with this for a couple more days? I have never had a situation where I was sick and wanted to have it again the next day. So when you think about sickness for 12 years, and it also did not help that this woman's sickness consisted of a loss of blood. This loss of blood, this condition made this woman considered to be unclean. As we learned in the previous story, to be unclean is to be an outcast in your environment. She could not come into contact with people. Because if she did, her uncleanliness would have rubbed off on them and made them unclean. If she had a husband, she couldn't even lay in the same bed as her husband for 12 years. Because he would have became defiled, because the bedroom was defiled, because her illness made her defiled. She was an outcast. She was too treated with an arm's length approach. But see, while she was struggling with this situation of hers, after she has tried time, after she has tried money, after she has tried physicians, and nothing worked. Nothing worked. At this point in this woman's life, she was hopeless, helpless, depraved, and tired. She was exhausted. Her money was spent. Her hope was spent. Her health was spent. What does she do? The Bible tells us that she hears about Jesus. Did you guys see that? The Bible says she hears. Now, I'm going to take a pause. This is not where I want us to go, but I'm going to make a connection here real quick. The Bible says she hears about Jesus, and she said to herself, well, after hearing about Jesus, it doesn't tell us what she heard. It just tells us that she heard about him. And after hearing about him, she believed that if she could just touch his cloak, she will be healed. Whatever she heard sprang her into a faith. It allowed her to step into a faith that he could heal her. What's so crazy about this is that our earlier point was that faith, authentic faith, is a verbal faith. We don't know who's around us, and we don't know what they're going through. So why is it that we're keeping such good news to ourselves? This woman in the passage, she was in the midst of despair, and she hears about Jesus, and then she believed. Maybe there's somebody at work that needs to hear about Jesus. Maybe there's somebody at the gas station that needs to hear about Jesus. Maybe it's somebody in the grocery store that needs to hear about Jesus. Maybe it's somebody sitting next to you on the pew that needs to hear about Jesus. But if we don't say nothing, if we don't say nothing, then how can we expect that in the midst of their condition, they can come into a belief that he is real? We don't know what she heard. So it's not up to us to try to decipher what should I say, what not to say. Just say something. Because maybe in us saying something, it may be an extra influence for that person to come into a belief that God is real and Christ is real. We have become so scared. We have become so scared to be ridiculed, to be persecuted. God has never promised us safety from this world. God ain't never said that you ain't gonna be persecuted. God actually displays through Christ that persecution is a part of this walk. So when we take up this walk, we have to expect, yeah, when I speak, people may dislike me. When I speak, my job may try to fire me. When I speak, my kids may ignore me. When I speak, my church members may shut me up. It does not matter. Because if our belief is real, then we ought to speak. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I believe, therefore I spoke. If he did not speak, he did not believe. If we are not speaking, do we really believe? And if we do believe, let's speak, because we may be able to help someone else like this woman was helped by hearing about Jesus. And after she hears about Jesus, this is what's so amazing. After she hears about Jesus, she says, oh man, if I could just touch his cloak, I'll be healed. This woman was not supposed to go into large crowds. She wasn't supposed to go by anybody. She wasn't supposed to touch anybody. She was supposed to stay shut up inside of her house. She wasn't supposed to sit on a bench. Because if she sat on a bench and then somebody else came and sat on that same bench, that bench is defiled, so they would have been defiled. She was not supposed to go into close proximity with other people, y'all. And there was a crowd surrounding Jesus. She only said to herself, I want to get to Jesus. And you know what she did? She pushed through that crowd just to touch his cloak. See, at first, you see that her belief, her faith, was inward. It was a thought that said, if I can just touch his cloak, I'll be healed.
But it didn't just stop there. Her faith moved from being a thought to being action. Her faith moved from inward to outward action. If you want to know where I'm going, I'm going to tell you right now. Authentic faith is spoken, but authentic faith is also an action. It has to be an action. We have to do something about it. Too many of us are keeping our faith at a spoken faith. See, the first point wasn't hard because many of us, we easily say, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Our faith has to be verbal in order for us to go down into that water. Some of us struggle with that, but for those who don't struggle with the verbal faith, we struggle with the active faith. We allow our faith to lay dormant inside of ourselves. And so we sit in the pews, we come to church and we say, well, that's my activity of faith. That's my expression of faith. No, it is not. It is a part of it, but it is not all of it. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for us to save us, why are we still living as if we are dead? See, if we really believe that God is who he says he is, and that Christ is who he says he is, if we truly believe, then why are we still living as if we're ignorant to that belief? If we really have faith in him, then you must know that if you believe in God and you believe in Christ, then you must believe that there's also an alternative to heaven. And yet we keep living as if heaven is the only option. I don't want to step on nobody's toes, and I ain't trying to make nobody feel bad, but there is another alternative to heaven. There is such a thing as a separation from God that hurts. There is such a thing as being separate from him for eternity. And there is such a thing as there's a chance that we may go there if we don't get our lives right. But I'm going to move from that because, you know, we don't talk about heaven and hell no more. So I'll move from that. This woman, she tried everything and nothing worked. But she said, you know what, I'm going to try Jesus because she believed that he could heal her. And she rushed through the crowd. She pushed through the crowd. Are we moving like that? Are we pushing past people? When we hear about Christ and we hear about God, if at that point we believe, are we springing into action? Are we moving? Because there's some people in here. I know everybody in this room ain't baptized. I know everybody in this room ain't picked up their walk with Christ. I know everybody in this room ain't done that yet. And so there may be somebody in this room that you sitting there, you saying, I believe that God is real and I believe that Christ is real. I believe everything I hear on Sunday morning, yet you still sitting in your pew. Yes. Do you really believe if you still stuck to that pew? Because if you at the point that you believe, should you not be jumping up and saying, I want to take on Christ and I want to live for God? There's some of you guys who have already done that, but you went back to your seat and you went back to sitting down. If you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you really believe that God is who he says he is, if you really believe that he created all this, then why are you sitting down and not acting out your life in such a way that displays his glory, that displays your faith in him? Right. It's because we don't understand that faith, authentic faith, is an active faith. True faith is not just speaking that Christ is enough, but actually living like Christ is enough. We learn that faith restricted to words alone don't make us much different from those demons. I think James expresses that well. If you want, you go ahead and turn to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, verse 19, I think James gives us a real good understanding about what works means, what activity means to our life of faith. In chapter 2 of James, verse 19, it says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? I have heard so many people argue about faith versus works. I've heard so many people say that faith is more important than works. I've heard other people say that works is more important than faith. Some people really believe that they don't really need to believe. They can just act right and then they'll be given access to heaven. Some people weigh those things. And what's so funny about those people is that those people will never get it. Faith and works are not separate things. Works is supposed to be a manifestation of our belief. They go hand in hand. And you can sit around and ask yourself which came first, the chicken or the egg. You can do that all you want. But the truth is, God is not calling us to weigh which one is more important. God is calling us to have an active faith that includes work. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. What James is explaining is that faith is not counted as faith unless it includes work. Without the work, you question the faith. You cannot tell me that you believe in something and live contrary to what you just said you believe and expect for me to believe that you believe it. that trip you up? It should. It should. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then why are you still not a Christian? I think that's a good question. Because some of y'all looking at me, y'all saying, Alex, you don't know what you're talking about. And you know what? For some of y'all, that may be true. But I can tell you why I know what I'm talking about. It's by that statement I just said. You know that faith needs to be an act of faith. Because if you really believe, why are there so many people in this room that are still not Christians? If you really believe, then why are there Christians in here still acting like they're not Christians? That's how you know that I ain't talking about nothing foreign here. I'm not talking about something out of the ordinary. I'm not talking about an alien thought. I'm talking about something that we're dealing with right now. If we really believe, why are we living as if we're still a part of this world? Or if we believe that we have been taken into a family of God? I wonder. It's because we have reduced faith to a spoken practice and no longer see faith as an active practice of belief. But for my folks that are fake, that's all right. But my folks that want to be real, I'm talking about a real Christian, an authentic Christian, then that requires authentic faith. And authentic faith is verbal, but not just verbal alone. It's verbal and it's active. Repeat after me. God wants the real, not the fake. God wants the real, not the fake. As we begin to verbalize our faith and activate our faith, then we will soon find that real faith must also be stable. I want you guys to look with me at Mark chapter 4. We don't have to turn far. Mark chapter 4. I want you guys to look at verse 38. Mark chapter 4 of verse 38 through 41, it says, Jesus was in the stern. He was below the boat, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, Teachers, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the winds, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the winds died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus was asleep in the boat and the storm came. And his disciples, they went into an uproar. Wake up, Jesus, wake up. It's the storm. Do you not care if we live? Do you not care about our well-being? And Jesus gets up and he quiets the storm. He says, Be still to the waves. And the storm ceased. And he looks at his disciples and he says to them, Do you still have no faith? We can learn something about faith here. We can learn something about what authentic faith means here. Authentic faith is stable. These same disciples that went into an uproar, that went around running around like chickens with their heads cut off, these same disciples, when Jesus was healing people, they were all good. When Jesus was out there raising people from the dead, they was all good. When Jesus was out there speaking with authority, they were all good. But the moment Jesus went to sleep and the storm came, their faith left. See, they was faithful when Jesus was out there doing stuff that they could see. They were faithful when things were at a peaceful state. They were faithful in those peaceful times. But when chaos came, their faith went into chaos. See, and that's why Jesus will say to them, Do you still not have faith? Do you still not have faith? Because if you had faith, the same faith that you displayed when peace was here is the same faith that you need to display when chaos is here. Some of us in our lives, y'all, some of us in our lives, we all good when the building is upright, when the roof is upright. But what happens when a storm comes through the church? Do our faith go out the window? See, some of us, we have faith that our marriages are going to work out. But then when a storm comes in our marriage, our faith that God is going to protect our marriage goes out the window too. See, some of us have faith in God that he's going to protect us, but then when we lose our house or lose our apartment or lose our job, our faith goes because we think that protection means a job. We think that protection means a house. We think that protection means a roof. But the truth is, protection means peace. Protection means grace. Protection is something that God has offered us that goes beyond this physical realm. But see, it requires for us to understand faith a little bit more, which is why those men in that boat, they were unstable and their faith was unstable. If we want to have authentic faith, then we need to stabilize our faith. What stable faith looks like, I think Daniel shows us. You can turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. And this is the last time I'll have you flip, I promise. Daniel chapter 6. And basically, I'm going to tell you what's happening in this situation because there's a lot to read. And I want you guys to focus on verse 10. In this situation, Daniel was second almost to the king. The king really saw favor on Daniel. God blessed him in that way. So Daniel became like an advisor in a sense to the king. And the king tried to make Daniel the next most important man outside of himself among all the people, even the people who he already put in leadership. But see, those people in leadership, they didn't like that. They didn't want Daniel to be over them. And so they tried to find something wrong with Daniel. But they couldn't because Daniel was too perfect. They couldn't find anything. So when people can't find something wrong with a perfect person, they create something wrong with that perfect person. And that's exactly what they did in this story. They sought after a situation where they can catch him up. And so they went to the king and they said, King, you should make a decree that for the next 30 days, can't nobody in your kingdom pray to anybody except for you. That's what they did. They went to the king and they said, King, you should make a decree that nobody can pray to anybody for the next 30 days except for you. And the king agreed. The king agreed. Look at what happened in verse 10. Verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. After Daniel hears about the decree, after the king wrote up the decree, this is what happened in verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. You guys see that? The situation apparently looks like this. Daniel, before this decree came out, was able to pray to whomever he wanted, whenever he wanted. The decree came out, his situation changed. But his faith remained. Listen, that's so sobering. Because that lets us know that it's possible. And you think, oh, well, that was Daniel. You know, he had favor of God and all that. All right, well, check this out. Because of that, he was thrown into the lion's den. Because of that, the king had no choice but to punish him. Did he change? Did he switch up his step? Did he change his tone? No, he went into that lion's den with faith. Because the same faith that led him to be stable was the same faith that led him to be courageously positioned in that lion's den. We have to stabilize our faith. And what that looks like is we have to grow into a faith that remains the same even when the winds blow. We have to be that plant rooted in the ground so that even when the storm comes, we stand tall. Stable faith is not wishy-washiness. I have never followed after somebody's belief when they themselves were wishy-washy towards it. You guys hear me? I have never followed after. You can be the strongest, tallest, most respected, suited up man that I have ever met. And you can come to me and tell me that God is real. But if you living like God ain't real, you think I'm going to believe you? See, we used to live in a time. We used to live in a time where a kid could walk down the street. And a person that was smoking would look at that kid and tell them, don't smoke. And the kid will listen. We used to live in that time. But now, if you're walking down the street and you smoking and you try to tell me not to smoke, I'm not listening to you. You're not living what you preach. Stability looks like we live what we preach consistently. It's not that I turn here and there. Ain't nobody ever been recognized for their wishy-washiness. When Daniel went up to his room and prayed, Daniel made a stance. David took a stance that said, I'm going to stay loyal. I'm going to stay committed to God because I believe in him. Authentic faith is stable faith. It is not wishy-washiness. It is not I come and go when it pleases me. It is not I come and go depending on my condition, depending on my situation. It depends. It depends on nothing but God. It depends on nothing but God. The world is forever changing, but our Lord is remaining. And since God remains the same, our faith, should follow. We cannot become faithless in the face of adversity, because in doing so, our whole faith is now in question. We cannot become faithless in the face of adversity, because if we do, our whole entire system of faith is now in question. So for those of you trying to grow authentic faith, we need to stabilize our faith. Repeat after me. God wants the real, not the fake. Did you see her walk into this room? Did you see her walk into the building? She had so much attitude. She had so much attitude. She was sassy and she was evil, and you can feel it coming off of her. She thinks she's better than everybody, but she ain't better than nobody. That's what those women were saying as the woman, other woman walked into the room with her Louis Vuitton purse, flying it around so that everybody can see, because she wanted people to see her and be in awe. But what's so crazy is that right after she walks into a room, there was another woman who walked into that same room with a Louis Vuitton. The same one, the same style. And it took her but 2 seconds to look at the other woman's purse and say, that's a fake. See, there's a couple of ways that we're able to tell a fake purse from a real purse. One way to tell a fake purse from a real purse is by the monogram, which is the pattern, the name, the label that's on the outside of the purse. Another way you can tell a fake purse from a real purse is by the straps. The leather straps are sewn or woven together in a specific way. Another way you can tell a fake purse from a real purse is by the weight of the jewelry. See, the jewelry on a real purse is heavy. The jewelry on a fake purse is real light. Another way you can tell a fake purse from a real purse is by the smell. It's by the smell of the bag. Do it smell real? Another way you can tell a fake purse from a real purse is there a design? Is there a monogram on the inside? Is there a label on the inside of the purse? Listen, I have a wife that has a closet filled with Michael Kors purses, so I know what I'm talking about. So stop looking at me like, why did he know so much about purses? Well, you got to buy purses. You know purses, all right? You know purses, okay? You can tell a real purse from a fake purse. Here's the thing. If you're intentional enough, it's real easy to spot. It's real easy to spot. And you know what? If we're intentional enough, it's real easy to spot fake faith from real faith. See, we start seeing people who take on Christ and yet never talk about Christ. You got to know that ain't real. We see people who take on Christ and don't live out Christ. You can tell that it ain't real. You see people who say, I believe in Christ, and yet every time something comes up in their life, they go away somewhere. You don't even know where they're going until they come back. You know that that faith ain't real. See, I'm trying to tell y'all something here. There's a lot of people walking into this church with Louis Vuitton fake purses, trying to act like it's real, trying to pass it off like it ain't real, like it's real. But the truth is, if you ain't never talking about your faith, if you ain't never walking out your faith, and if you ain't stable in your faith, then is it really faith at all? It may be a version of faith, but is it authentic faith? Is it the real thing? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure that out. Because if you ain't never, I ain't never had a conversation. You supposed to be a Christian. But every time you talk to me, you talking to me about sports. You ain't never talking to me. You ain't never talking to me about God. If every time I see you out there on your social media platform, you posting all these pictures, or every time I see you out there doing God knows what, when you ain't got no business doing it, but you claim that you're a Christian, you think I'm going to believe that? You think that I'm going to believe that your faith is real if your life ain't a reflection of that faith? If every time I see you saying, man, I say, why you ain't coming to church? Oh, man, things just ain't going right in my life. Is that not all the more reason to go then? What I'm saying is, too many of us are walking around with fake Louis Vuitton purses trying to pass it off as if it's real. But if we're intentional enough, we can tell the real from the fake real quick. It don't take much. If you see somebody with that faith that they claim they have, but they don't never say anything about God or Christ, question it. If you see somebody that claim they have faith, but their life is not a reflection of that faith, question it. If you see somebody that claim they have faith, but every time something in their life comes up, they go out, question it. But here's the even harder thing to do. If you say that you have faith, but you ain't speaking, question it. If you say that you have faith, but you ain't living it, question it. If you say you have faith, but you find yourself always slipping and sliding in and out of it, question it. See, it's real easy for us to look at somebody else's purse. But most of us are not that other person coming in with the real purse. Most of us are the woman coming in with the fake purse, trying to pass it off as if it's real. Most of us are that person with that fake faith. I'm trying to talk to y'all about authentic faith. It's somebody in here that wants a real faith. It's somebody in here that's ready to verbalize their faith. It's somebody in here ready to come up here this morning and say, you know what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I am not perfect. I am messy, but I know that he is cleansing me. See, I don't understand this. I talked to somebody the other day and they said, you know what? I'm too messy to come to Christ right now. And I said to them, you think you can clean yourself on your own? Too often we think that we can cleanse ourselves on our own. You cannot cleanse yourself. So if you sitting there, you waiting for your life to get better so you can come to Christ. The Bible says Christ did not come to save the saved. He came to save the lost. Christ did not come to clean the clean. He came to clean the dirty. So if you dirty, you're the perfect person for this. Some of us are ready to verbalize our faith this morning. But see, then you can't stop there. You got to activate your faith. You have to activate your faith. And how you do that is that after you verbalize that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you activate it by going down into that water and coming back up a new person. And you activate it every single day by picking up your cross daily. And then you stabilize it by continuing to live out your life for Christ, growing, maturing, developing into that stronger Christian that he has called us to be. Somebody in here is ready to take on that authentic faith. And then for those people in here that said, you know what, I already stepped into that faith, activate it. Stabilize it. If you are ready to give God the real, I mean the real stuff, then repeat after me. God wants
the real.
Not the fake. If you're ready to give God the real, why don't you come as we stand to sing?